Hey, welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host. And with me today, my guest today, he has swam with the sharks and barracuda, slept with grizzly bears, caught rattlesnakes with his bare hands, hunted the plains of South Africa, and spent a good majority of his life right here in Jersey County. Welcome, Dwayne Hargrave. Welcome, Dwayne. How you doing, Dwayne?
I'm fine. How are you, Chris?
Doing good. Now, Dwayne, you're retired now. You retired from Seavers.
Yes.
International.
Yeah.
Seavers. What's Seavers? What do you call that?
Seavers Equipment Company.
Seavers Equipment Company. Yeah, international we were talking about. You used to be, whenever you had the business, it was Hargraves International, right?
That's okay. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And recently retired. You sold the business to Seavers. They took over.
Yes.
And you'd been, and actually your dad started that business.
That's correct.
Back in what, 19?
January of 1971.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's been a while. Now, you were telling me, and I just ask you, you kind of, as a young kid, you traveled around a lot from school to school, but your dad wasn't in the military. What was your dad doing?
He worked for International Harvester as a territory rep. They moved him every 2 to 3 years. So the longest I ever stayed in one school was like 3 years.
Really? That had to be tough on a young kid.
It really is, but thinking back on it or whatever, I've met a lot of different friends and still communicate with them, and so at the time I didn't like it, but I look back on it now as it was maybe a better way of growing up or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, did you have any brothers or sisters?
Got one sister.
Okay, so. Was she older or younger?
No, she's 2 years younger than I am.
Okay. What was the towns? Were there towns nearby here, or where did you start off at?
Started off at Carrollton, Missouri. Then I went first and second grade in Carrollton, Missouri, and then I went second and third and fourth grade in Ottawa, Kansas. And then I went fifth grade and sixth grade and seventh grade in Effingham, Illinois. And then I went the seventh and eighth, or eighth and ninth grade in Florissant, Missouri. And then I went 10th grade and 11th grade in Carlinville. And then I went 12th grade back in Florissant.
Gosh, that I mean that is tough. On what was your what did you do? For example, I mean, you moved so much. Every time you went to a new school, did you have certain things that you did to try to establish friends and get to know people?
Oh yeah, and anyway, it was some people are hard to make friends with, but anyway. I still go to Carlinville's. I didn't graduate from Carlinville High School, but I go to their reunions or whatever. I've got a lot of friends over there. And then I graduated from Hazelwood High School, and I've got a lot of friends there. So I get to go to two.
Now, how about college? Where did you go to college at?
Went to college at SEMO. It's Southeast Missouri State College. And I guess it's State University now, but in Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
Yeah. And what'd you study?
Business administration was my degree or whatever.
So your dad settled down, bought the business here in Jerseyville.
From the Isringhausen brothers.
Okay, in 1970.
Yeah.
All right. And when did you graduate from college?
In 1972.
So, but then you went to work for him right out of college.
Yes, I did.
How did he recruit you on that?
he said, "Well, try it, because I'd worked for Firestone before while I was going to college or whatever. And and they were kind of wanting me to come to work for them. And
but your dad was really wanted you to come.
Yeah. He talked me into it. Yeah. And he said, "Well, you can try it." And well, 51 years and 10 months later, I'm still trying it.
What did he have you doing right off the bat?
I set up equipment and worked on combines.
Yeah. I imagine starting right out of college in that business and you working on almost being a mechanic, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you had this business degree, yeah. But you were a mechanic.
Well, I learned to work on automobiles and trucks and stuff when I was in college or whatever, and I made money tuning up Fraternity Brothers cars and other people that wanted their cars taken care of, and I got to where I kind of liked doing that kind of work, so that's what I started out at.
So your dad bought the business in 1970, your mom and dad, Bob and Maxine, and then your dad retired, or you bought it from your dad.
1983.
Okay. And did things change? Did you change much when you took over the business?
No, I took on some other lines, like we had GMC trucks. We took that on, and
oh yeah, I remember that. I think I bought one from you.
Yeah. You and Jeff and your uncle. Lloyd. But I took on the dealership of Kubota or whatever, which was a real good move. And then I later took on the Arctic Cat ATVs
they weren't that popular yet, were they?
No, you took them over. As a matter of fact, I was in the top 10 in the country or whatever my second year of being an Arctic Cat dealer.
Didn't you win something for selling so many?
Yeah.
What'd you win?
H2 Hummer. And
that's a nice prize.
Yes, it was. And but that was the, I'm trying to think. Later I took on the Polaris, and then I had several, a lot more lines like X-Mark and Cub Cadet.
I bought one of those from you, too.
Yeah, you did.
No, I still got it.
No, you bought an X-Mark for me.
Yeah, bought an X-Mark.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I still got it. It's 19 years old.
I probably told you it was going to last you forever, whatever. I wasn't lying, was I?
No, I think it's done well. I remember the first time I got on that thing, right? And with that zero turn, I'd never been on a zero turn. It was like, boy, that sold it. So then, you recently retired, but another passion of yours. Hey, if you're just joining us, I have the Great White Hunter with me, Dwayne Hargrave. That's what I used to call you, the Great White Hunter. Yeah,
I got a little Indian blood, in fact, that helps. the Cherokee.
what was your of all the? I mean, you were into hunting. I heard a story where a bunch of people would go pheasant hunting, like a group, right?
Been on a bunch of those.
But soon they had to change the rules because whenever they hunt the pheasants, a pheasant would pop up and you'd boom, you'd kill it. And then nobody else was getting any shots. They finally had to say, take your gun away because you were just like, shoot, do anything. Like, hey, let us hit one, you know? Yeah. So I know you were a crack shot and did a lot of different things. Even... What was your favorite passion of hunting? What'd you like the best?
Elk hunting in Montana.
Yeah.
And you went on one trip with me. And you can tell them about that.
Well, I did go with you. That was an eye opener.
Yeah.
I can remember telling my wife, Brenda, I said, hey, I'm going elk hunting in Montana. She goes, you won't like it. I go, well, I'm going to be gone for, I don't know if I said 3 weeks or something. She goes, there's no way you're going to stay out in the wilderness for 3 weeks. And she was, I think I lasted like 10 days, I think. Yeah. It was fun. And then I'm like, oh, Dwayne, I got to go back.
You remember that horse that ran off from you or whatever? And
Yeah,
what was its name?
I just remember that horse. We went on this trip, and we rented mountain horses once we got out there. And the horse I had, I mean, they were great for traveling in the mountains, et cetera. But they're toward the end of the, we were down on the plains. It was toward the last day. It was the last day. And I said to you, I was being maybe a little bit, I don't know. I was maybe.
You're the cameraman.
I was the cameraman. Yeah, I was taking a lot of shots. And I said, hey, Dwayne, I want to get a picture of you galloping across the plains. I'm going to get a great shot. Because it was a beautiful scenery. It had the mountains in the back. I mean, you could see 50 miles.
With the river. Yeah.
And my horse, his name will come to me in a minute. It was something like maybe Dopey.
Well, it started with a W, I think.
Anyway, you would drop the reins out there.
Woody.
You would just drop the reins, and the horse would stay there. You didn't have to tie them up or anything. Whatever we did, we just dropped the reins. They were trained.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, you went galloping across, and I was snapping off some shots. Woody looks up, and he sees you galloping, and he thinks he's going to miss out on something. He takes off after you. And I see him going, and I wanted to.
Where'd my ride go?
You stopped, and Woody kept on going. And then you had to. Where'd you find him? How far away was he before he finally got him?
Long ways. You walked a long ways until he.
You finally got. You went and got him, caught him, brought him back to him.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, man.
Woody! You son of a biscuit.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. So you loved elk hunting, but you went to Africa hunting. What was up with that?
I got a fraternity brother that's been after me to go with him. He's been, I guess, three or four times, and anyway, he talked me into it. So anyway, it was a nice experience.
Yeah. I heard, though, you might have had trouble getting out of South Africa.
We...
What happened there? What was the story? Like, you were getting ready to go, and they wouldn't let you out.
No. I had some small tools in my pocket or whatever.
Yeah.
And like a little crescent wrench and a little pair of pliers and stuff.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't let me take them.
On the plane?
No, they wouldn't. And anyway, so I it was either that or not to catch my flight. So I gave them up or whatever. But anyway, that was they guarded us with guns because of the issues of being attacked by the some of the radicals that are over there. And anyway,
so that was going on back then too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the white farmers or whatever, they were killing them and taking over their farms or whatever.
Even back then?
Back then. And anyway.
And this is what year? 19 what?
Oh, gee. It was
2000.
Like 2010, 10, maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
And anyway, our guides on the hunting trip was telling me about how awful it had been, and their other farmer friends, they had a telephone system just amongst themselves or whatever, and that way if one got attacked or whatever, the others could come to their rescue or whatever.
Really?
Yeah. And
the white farmers.
Yeah.
I'll be darned. And so, did you know that going over there? Did you know it?
Had no idea.
No idea. And then you got over there and realized all that stuff.
They were packing guns. The people in the country lived in fenced off areas with alarms. And anyway, They always had a gun wherever we went or whatever. They were packing a gun, so we didn't
get. I mean, and you were packing, right?
Well, yeah, we was, but ours was in a case.
Your guides were packing. They're
in the hand, and even at the airport, he brought a when he picked us up at the airport, he had a gun. He was wasn't in a case or anything. He was just handling it, and anyway. I got a little bit concerned about why you would have to carry a gun. Well, later on, I found out why. Yeah. And
wow! So now that's an interesting vacation package.
there was a thing on television with Trump interviewing the president of South Africa here last week.
That.
Yeah, and anyway, and. Trump laid it on him, you know, what are you doing about the killing of white farmers or whatever? And the president didn't know quite how to answer that. And Trump had a video of them.
Yeah.
It was over 1,000 people, and they were kill the white man.
But you experienced that? Yeah, back in 2010.
I definitely watched out.
You also, you did a little, you like to scuba dive.
Love it, yeah.
And where all of you scuba dived at?
All over the country. I've scuba dived in Hawaii. I've scuba dived in almost all the Caribbean islands. I've scuba dived in the... In Florida, and I scuba dived in Great Lakes.
What's the scariest you've ever been when you've been underwater scuba diving?
I was in Montego Bay, Jamaica, or whatever, and my dive watch or whatever.
Because you only had so much time to stay under.
Yeah,
right. So you had to keep track of that.
I was in 150 feet depth or whatever.
150 feet?
Yeah. And
wow.
You can't stay that long.
No.
Otherwise, you'll get nitrogen in your blood and you'll die of the bends or whatever. And I was watching my watch, you know, and I wasn't realizing how the time was going by. And finally I thought, you know, and what happened was my watch quit working or whatever. And I looked on my air pressure gauge and I only had like 400 pounds left. Well, you got to take it real slow.
Going up, yeah. Otherwise, your lungs will span, and then you die.
Yeah. They call it nitrogen.
So I bet you were nervous getting up out of that.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to get out, go up from 150 feet?
Oh, it was probably 15 minutes or whatever. And,
whoa. Yeah.
The other time I really got scared was when I graduated from college. We went to Florida, me and a fraternity brother, and he didn't dive, but he liked to water ski, and so we rented a boat and we went out on the ocean. And anyway, he water skied a while, and then he anchored the boat, and I went diving. And I used a tank of air, and I popped up, and the boat I could just see was a dot on the horizon or whatever. And
what happened? I got in a current.
And I swam. I didn't think I'd ever get back to the boat. And when I got to the boat, it wasn't even my boat. It was, but our boat was on not too far from that or whatever. And there's a lot of people die from getting swept out with the currents or whatever. And I came close.
And you actually dove in a lake up in the mountains of Montana.
Yes.
And then you, at that time, were the only human being to dive this lake.
I'm famous out there for, they got my picture at the...
Do they?
At the bar, yeah. And anyway, Yeah, we Mike Parrish and I went diving, and anyway, it was a mountain lake at the top of a mountain or whatever. We had to pack the tanks and gear up with horses or whatever, and it was
it cold?
Yeah. Well, I'd always take the temperature of the water, and it was like 45 degrees or whatever.
But you were in a wetsuit, so it wasn't super.
Wetsuit.
Yeah, you've dove cold water before.
I have.
Yeah. Didn't you dive like in Lake Michigan or something?
Yeah, I did.
When it was very cold,
ice cold. Yep. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, it's been fun having you in the studio, Dwayne. And I know you're enjoying retirement.
Yeah.
Yes. And good having you. Any last words of wisdom to those frontiersmen out there that want to be just like you?
Yeah. get in good shape if you're going to the mountains. Otherwise, you won't be able to hack it. And Just if you go swimming in the ocean or whatever, watch out for those rip tides, because they'll take you out in the ocean, and there's people
never
every
be
year.
Seen again.
Yeah, never get seen again. And anyway, the grizzly bears or whatever, just leave them alone. They left us alone. And but it was quite an experience.
I bet.
Being within 50 yards of them. And so.
I thought it was 50 feet.
Well, when we was in our tent sleeping or whatever, there probably was 10 to 15 feet, for that matter.
Well, Dwayne, thanks for coming in. It's been a pleasure, and we'll see you around out there.
Okay.